began on the 6th of March, 2019. Now, a year and a half later, we get to raise our bat for the 50th time because Hockey the Podcast has reached its half century. We've seen it plenty of times on the cricket field, and yeah, you may think it's a relatively small achievement for us to be celebrating, but no, it's much bigger than that, for us at least. I'm talking about myself, Derek Albert, and my partner in crime, my co-host, Tyron Barnard, who's been with me every step of the way. Well, he is the driving force behind the entire series. It started with a little idea back in the day from him, of course, and since then, it's grown and grown and grown. We are exceptionally proud to have seen our baby become a much bigger child, I suppose. But Tyron, congratulations. It feels good.
Yeah, Derek, congratulations to you as well. It is unbelievable to be sitting here and saying this is the 50th episode of Hockey the Podcast. That 50 episodes, 62 guests. I mean, 62 different guests. Obviously, we've had two that have been on twice. One in a bit of a sneaky way with Cara Bortis and, of course, Gareth Ewing being on twice. But 62 different guests along 50 episodes. We, you know, Derek, I won't forget listening to Radio Media's Inside the Game, chatting to you about it and just saying, there's nothing like this for hockey. And then to think that 50 episodes, 62 guests later... We're still going, and the line of people that we want to chat with, the line of people that are keen to chat to us, is a very, very long line. And, yeah, I mean, I might sound a little bit speechless. It's because I am. I'm shocked that – not shocked. I'm surprised we've got here so quickly, actually. And it's been a lot of fun, fun doing it.
Yeah, it's been exceptional fun. I mean, for you – you live, breathe, eat, sleep hockey. It wasn't so much the case with me. You approached me, said, you know, can I come on board? And I said, yeah, what the hell? Let me learn a new sport. And it has been an education bar none. I've loved every single second. And here's to the next 50. But, yeah, we're getting way ahead of ourselves. This episode really is just going to be a conversation between you and I and a trip down memory lane. Speaking of which, let's head back all the way to the beginning, the 6th of March, 2019. And, I mean, I'm fairly experienced when it comes to broadcasting. You as well, but, I mean, this was new terrain for you in terms of podcasting. And let's just head back to that very, very first episode and take a quick listen. It is arguably one of the most popular sports in the world, also in South Africa, but there is not a single dedicated podcast to hockey. That's all changed right now. Welcome to Hockey 24/7, brought to you by Raider Media, the first of its kind in the country, where we'll be talking everything to do with the sport in relation to South Africa and possibly beyond. Hosting the show with me, as always, and he'll be the main man in charge, because when it comes to the sport, there is nothing that Tyron Jabu Barnard does not know, and he's sitting here right with me. Tyron, welcome to the show. It's going to be an exciting journey.
Yeah, Derek, thanks to you and Raider Media for setting this up. We're really excited. I think there are some great personalities, some great stories in South African hockey that haven't been told, and we want to tell them. And we've got such an exciting lineup for the next couple of weeks already lined up. I can't wait to just chat hockey with some special hockey people.
Yeah, that indeed has been the case, Ty. It's been amazing to look back. And we pretty much have lived up to the ethos. I mean, that's exactly what we set out to do. And we've done it over the course of a year and a half. One thing I must say, my intros haven't changed. I continue to talk about you being the driving force, the man with the plan, the man of action. And the reason why the intros haven't changed, because it's absolutely true. You tell me exactly where to be, what to say, because given the fact that you set up all the interviews, you know exactly. I'm just the guy pushing buttons on the side and saying the odd word here and there. But yeah, it's amazing to listen back to that now and to think that's exactly what we aim for and by all intents and purposes have managed to achieve.
I think I was driving home from work one day. It was back in the days when you were allowed to go to work. And I picked up the phone and I phoned you, and of course we were friends outside of a podcasting situation, and I remember saying, you know, look, Derek, you know I write about the sport. You've helped me write a few articles over the years. You've helped me get it to people, get it on radio. But there's nothing. Let's do this. And I remember thinking, what are we going to do? And we said, look, we don't want to be a weekly stats. We don't want to be a weekly match report. But we want to tell stories. And it fills me with pride because 50 episodes later, that's exactly what we've done. Exactly what you were saying now is we've told stories, and we've told some incredible stories, and all of them start as hockey stories, but almost all of them come with something else, come with a life story, come with another sports story, come with an entertainment story, come with, I mean, these people are incredible people. We've obviously also seen the change. We started out as hockey 24/7, and then alongside aligning with the hockey, the magazine that we've launched or that I've launched now, we came up with Hockey the Podcast, and much more slick look, much more slick feel, but ultimately the same product. And our product is pretty simple. I mean, the intro, yes, you give me a big ups and you play yourself down. I mean, there was no one else that was going to partner with this because nobody knows media like you do, especially audio media. And the great thing is, Derek, you know, you and I have both won awards for media before. This podcast isn't about us at all. And in fact, that's what I'm the most proud of, is that 50 episodes later, it hasn't been about us. It has been about the guest every single time. And we've let them tell their story and inspire so many others.
Yeah, I've been absolutely amazed by the quality of the guests that we've had on the show. And I don't mean that in terms of the status of them, because they're all legendary in their own right, and of course we'll have many more who will fit the same bill completely. I'm talking about just the quality of the personalities. They are such incredible people. And, I mean, we keep on banging the same drum about how hockey is not as appreciated in South Africa as the big three sports, and plenty of other sports too, whereas in Europe they certainly are appreciated a lot more. And with that appreciation comes a lot more money and finances, etc. But, I mean, it's opened a whole new world for me and for many, many listeners. I mean, we've picked up many listeners along the way who, like me, didn't know too much about the sport, if anything, before, and now suddenly are devoted followers to A, Hockey the Podcast, and more importantly, B, hockey, the sport. And it's been incredible to see. And what's nice is the appreciation that we've had shown from the players and the administrators and the guests themselves. And that they've realized, well, now this is an open platform for hockey. Anyone that's involved, you can come here, speak your mind, and you're going to be speaking to a dedicated community of hockey followers. And everything that they say, we absolutely lap up.
Yeah, and I mean, Derek, probably the coolest thing about this is a lot of these guys, especially the earlier ones, I knew a lot of their stories, and I got to learn a lot more. The chats along the way, chatting to legends, I mean, we're going to play some clips through the show. We're obviously not going to play from all 49 episodes, but you know, we chatted to young upcomers. I mean, we went down to Durban and... we'll talk through that now, I think. But we went down to Durban and we went down to go do a live podcast of the Botswana, South Africa and Zimbabwe series. And, of course, featured there was Emerging South Africa. And, we went down there to do a live podcast. We ended up doing live streaming. We did live podcasts. We chatted to six emerging players. Kayla Duval was one of them, and she has since become a national player. The journey itself has been pretty radical for you and me, and I say that because radical is a word that should not be as expired as it is, because that's exactly what this journey has been, pretty darn radical.
Yeah, it really has been, and you know, I've spoken about it plenty on the show, about that trip to Durban, and there will be plenty more, I know that. But, I mean, that was just a thumbsuck of an idea from yourself. Let's go down, let's do the podcast, And as you said, it exploded into live streaming the matches, etc. And that was my first taste of the hockey community. And we landed in Derbs and quickly grabbed the hire car, myself, you, and other business partner, Raymond Hafst. And we shot down to the school, and we arrived there. I think it was about, 45 minutes to go before the first match. And we didn't quite know what we were doing. Luckily, we had Ray on board, who's the technically savvy part of the trio. And he quickly set things up, and you and I kind of helped him along. And then the next thing, we're broadcasting, and we're streaming this match live. And, yeah, the response from everyone was great, particularly from people in Zimbabwe who really don't have access to a lot of coverage. But it was how we're welcomed by the SA Indoor Hockey team, the SPA women's side, and Coach Lenny Buerta. I mean, we didn't feel as if we were on the outside looking in. We certainly were on the inside. We're part of the team, and we're treated as such. And I don't mean this to be a thing to all teams. Say, listen, when we rock up there, please treat us like gods. That's not the case at all. But, you know, the level of appreciation was mutual. They loved the fact that we were there, and we loved being there. And, yeah, that was my first taste, and I know for a fact it won't be my last.
Yeah, Derek, I mean, it's been an absolutely unbelievable run for me. You know, I started writing about hockey. I started a blog called All Things Jabu back in 2010, with Jabu being my nickname. And All Things Jabu, because Jabu means happiness, and sport for me means happiness. So the name kind of meshed like that. And so it was All Things Jabu, but it could have been read as All Things Sport. And, you know, I was actually last night reading my first few articles and how often I allowed grammar mistakes to slip through. But I was reading them and, you know, right back in 2010, I wrote my first few hockey articles, and it was very much as a independent, just trying to tell some stories. And in 2011 is when hockey really took off for me. I started writing. We had a Champions Challenge in Johannesburg, and I had exclusive interviews with Rusty Peterson, Austin Smith, Justin Reed Ross, Lloyd Madsen. You know, these guys are all guys who went to London 2012. I followed it there. SA Hockey obviously had a full-time media person. We was providing some great content for me. But the thing that struck me about hockey all the way back in 2011 already was the accessibility of the players. And that is something I'm so proud of the sport for not changing. I'm proud that the players are still so accessible, not just to you and me as media, but to anybody, a fan, a kid, a player. You know, you see hockey players, and they've got their challenges, the financial struggles that they go through. But when you watch the way they interact with the general public, it, you know, when you meet hockey players, you realize they're one of us. They're not this elite level that you can't get near. And I mean, and obviously you over the years have covered a lot of rugby and cricket, and those guys carry a lot more profile than a hockey player. But a hockey player is just as good an ambassador for the country as those individuals.
I completely agree. And, I mean, that's not to say that the cricketers and rugby players that I spend a lot of time with aren't nice guys. And they certainly are. I mean, I count some of my best friends as cricketers and rugby players. But, yeah, it really has opened my eyes into the hockey community. And I say the community word a lot, but with good reason, because that's exactly what it is. And I have been exceptionally impressed and blown away, again, I'm going to say it, by what a good bunch of people the hockey people are.
Well, and Derek, it shows, because I popped a message to a few hockey players, a few high-profile players that are friends of ours now, and I just said, listen, we're doing the 50th recording. Can you send us a voice note? And we got a whole bunch in, and maybe now's a good time to listen to one of them.
How's it, Derek and Jabu? Congratulations, guys. The 50th episode of Hockey the Podcast. That's the crowd going crazy in the background. Amazing, guys. Thanks for all you've done for the hockey community. It's been brilliant hearing from players, from past players, umpires, coaches, members of the public. I think that's what I've enjoyed the most, the variety that you've had. Indoor hockey as well, it's been absolutely brilliant, and I hope we hear a lot more in the future. Thanks so much, guys, and keep up the amazing work.
Thank you very much. That was Austin Smith, a hockey legend through and through. And speaking of hockey legends, let's go back again to that first episode, Ty, and we're not going to listen to our intro again. Let's actually listen to our very first guest, and tell us who that honor went to.
Well, yeah, of course, it's appropriate that we just listen to Austin. He was the 2012 London Olympics captain, and this gentleman was part of his squad. It was a squad that featured some of the best talent South Africa has ever produced, and this man is no different. Unfortunately, his career with South African hockey was maybe not as fruitful as it should have been because of political reasons, let's say. But when this man played, he's 140 tests for South Africa. He was as good a goal scorer as anyone else. And we actually interviewed him just after he had announced his retirement from playing for South African hockey. And it was Lloyd Norris-Jones. And, of course, Derek, you in episode one already showed that hockey, the podcast, is not just about hockey. It's about so much more.
I'll never forget, Tyron, watching the 2012 Olympics when we competed in London, and watching the men's rowing team of Susan Glover, John Smith, Matthew Britton, and James Thompson when they captured gold for South Africa against all odds. And during the podium finish when they went up to collect their medals, the commentator was speaking about their careers, and he spoke about one James Thompson being a model by profession. Now, I thought, oh, that's a pretty odd career to have if you're a rower. And it turned out that his coach had actually filled it in as a joke because they had to do their player profiles, and he sent that in. And if I Google your name, anything that comes up in Germany with regards to you comes up with model next to it. Are you moonlighting as that as well over in Germany?
They don't really accept 30-plus-year-old models there.
But is that the – because I promise you, if you look on any website in Germany, put in your name, put in modeling, and up pops up these German websites.
Yeah, so what had happened is I think it was in 2011. I don't know why I did it, but there were a couple of us that put up our hands to go in like the Heat magazine, and then a friend of mine said, "Hey, Cosmopolitan are putting together a calendar, and they're looking for a hockey player. Would you like to get involved?" So at first I thought it was a prank, and eventually it actually seemed pretty legit because of the emails were coming from someone at cosmopolitan.co.za. So I was like, okay, maybe this is actually a little more legit, not just one of my teammates trying to pull the wool over my eyes. I was in the calendar for the year, and then because of that, I went over to Germany, and in my first season, I had an interview with one of the guys, and everything seemed fine up until a certain point, until he had actually pretty much finished his interview, and then the last question he asked was, "Oh yeah, you're a model. Are you going to be doing any sort of work here?" And I said, "Geez, I've never been a model in my life before. I've just done this once. I did it as like almost because a friend had asked me to do it." And the next thing you know, he goes and puts the headline as model, like UFC bringing in a hockey model, or I can't even remember what he actually said. I was so furious.
But I'm model for then UHC. Don't know what
a model for UHC.
Oh, amazing, amazing.
Yeah, what a chop. I mean, I can't believe it.
So that's very similar to the James Thompson story, actually.
That's beautiful.
Oh, man, I'll never forget that story. And yeah, that was the very first episode. We had a legend of hockey speaking about his injection of modeling on the German modeling scene.
Neanderthals himself, I mean, Chuck, as Lloyd is known, such a model, such a model. But, you know, Derek, we could also mix it up, and we mixed it up with models and goal scorers. And as Austin said in his message, we mixed it up with players, administrators, et cetera, et cetera. Of course, also goalkeepers. And we got, in one of the early interviews, we actually got Phumelela Mbanda, the South African goalkeeper, in. And I asked her to speak to us, I remember the time, about the 35th test cap, and that was at the World Cup, where she performed sensationally well against Argentina to deny them in a 1-1 draw. And of course, all of this while the fact that she was busy studying for her board exam to become a chartered accountant.
It would be remiss of me not to at least talk about test cap number 35. We had, unfortunately, let's not talk about test cap 34 at all, but in test cap 35, we took on Argentina. We were a team feeling pretty deflated. Argentina, one of the favorites to win the tournament. And then the world, if they didn't know the name Phumelela Mbanda, and some of them still probably can't pronounce it, so they'll say Pumas or Pumi and Bandy. they all do now, because you produced one of the finest hockey goalkeeping displays the South African goalkeeper has ever produced, and you did it on the biggest stage, denying shot after shot after shot from Argentina. How did that game make you feel?
Firstly, thank you for those very, very kind words, Tyron. Yeah, hands down, the best game of my life. I think that day and getting my APC results, best days of my life, like ever, ever. Like even if I were to have a great moment in future, those two will definitely be top two. I don't know. For me as a goalkeeper, I always feed off of my first action in the game. In warm-up, I try to focus as much as I can, of course, but warm-up doesn't always mean much. It's always what I do with my first save, and if my first save is good, then the next one I'm going to be good at, and then the next one and the next one. And I think with that game, I kept having moment after moment after moment, and that allowed for me to then keep going and keep the momentum going. And I think just realizing what was happening in that game, like when Jade scored her goal, all of a sudden, it was like a light was, I don't know, ignited in me, because in my head I was like, could you really, really actually beat Argentina after the knock that we'd taken the game before? Obviously, as a team, we were all, as you mentioned, quite deflated. And it was just our last moment to be like, we do deserve to be here. We have worked hard to be here. We've let ourselves down in games before, but this is our last chance and we've got absolutely nothing to lose. If I could, I don't know, hold on to that moment and use that fire and that excitement and I don't know, whatever else, in all my games going forward, it would be very, very great, because I can't compare that feeling to anything in the world.
Yeah, Phumelela Mbanda, great to have her on. And she's also been a guest on our subsequent Tuesday night Radio Media Lockdown sports quizzes. And I think that she took the experience that she had from taking part in the Hockey the Podcast one question quiz into that. And that was something that was also born out of nothing. I think, did we even have it in that first episode, Ty?
Yeah, because you were brilliant. And this is where you downplay yourself. We actually started recording the first episode, and to be honest, Lloyd was actually not the first one we recorded. He was actually the second. Yes. Robin Johnson was actually recorded first, because she was available earlier, and we recorded them on the same day. But I just remember going through it and thinking, how are we going to wrap this up? How are we going to wrap this up? And you, we haven't even spoken about it. You're like, right, Robin, we're going into the famous one question quiz. And I was like, where did that is brilliant. And of course, that has been a really cool addition where people have been asked some fantastic questions over the period. I mean, asking what is Batman and Robin, what is Robin's real name to Robin from Ginkle. I mean, asking Robin Johnson herself, what position her dad's football team were in the league. I mean, it's fantastic.
Yeah, there's no question. We absolutely love sports trivia, and we've carried it over to the Tuesday night quizzes. But yeah, it was a really, really fun addition, and it really has carried itself, so it's been really cool. And I mean, I'll play one a little later. My personal favorite was Justin Reed Ross's response when I asked him about all the Friends characters' names. And not only did he give me their first names, but their surnames, and I think he went even into deeper detail because he's such a giant fan of the show. But one person who had to take on the one question quiz twice was a guy named Gareth Ewing.
Yeah, and what a great story Gareth has, and we're going to hear it a little bit. I mean, he'd been serving for South African hockey on the national committees, national teams, since 2004. And, you know, he got announced as the national coach replacing Mark Hopkins, got to lead us to the FIH World League Finals, or whatever we call the hockey series finals now. And he is the coach taking us to Tokyo 2021 now. And it was a great honor that we were able to chat to him fairly shortly after he was appointed. And then about a year later, almost a year later, we met him for coffee at the Grind Coffee Shop in Rosebank. We look forward to hosting a few more podcasts there when we can go back. But, yeah, it was great to hear how humbly he spoke about the opportunity of being made coach.
Yeah, and this was the very, very first time that we spoke to him. Episode 11.
Yeah, and I think, you know, there was something that you said there about Rhett around years of dedication. You know, that's really been the reaction to your selection, is how many guys are so happy that someone who's been committed to SA hockey for so long has been given the opportunity. I mean, you first had your international break back, I think if I'm correct, 2004, 2005, somewhere around there.
Yeah, actually, yeah, I've been involved for quite a while. I think it is 2004. I got a brief assignment as a video analyst for Paul Revington, and then later for Greg Clark, while they were coaching South Africa and South Africa A at the time, and I was able to kind of get my first chance to travel with the team and spend a bit of time with some really good coaches and players, and yeah, I've been coaching for a long time. This is I think it's year 25 of being an active coach, so I have kind of paid my dues, and I think that has actually been part of the positive response, is people appreciate that I've stuck at it and that I've grown and learned and made plenty of mistakes and built up experience. And I think people are reassured by the fact that you can commit to something and get an opportunity, you know, earn an opportunity. So I'm very grateful for the chance, and I've been very grateful for all the support I've received.
Hey, Tyron and Derek, well done on 50 podcasts for Hockey the Podcast. Well done, guys. That's amazing. Really enjoyed listening. Really enjoyed being a part of it. Hope to extend my record of being on more than twice now. So all the best, and keep up the good work, guys. Well done.
Thanks very much, Gareth Ewing. We certainly will have him on for the hat-trick soon, hey, Ty?
Yeah, it's... Unlikely that anybody else will beat him to the hat-trick, because we definitely want to chat to him before the team goes to Tokyo.
Yeah, and I mean, you spoke about the time that we chatted to him at the Grind, and I mean, it is a grind to travel around, especially in Johannesburg. It was during the middle of the day, and he made sure that he was out there, and he stuck around afterwards. I mean, we had a long, fat chat, and I think we had, if I'm not mistaken, Ray was around as well, and... C.S. Duplessis, a well-known broadcaster, also a good friend of the show. Didn't him and Gareth have a nice big chat afterwards too? Or Ray did. It was regarding Japan, because of course back then it looked as if the Olympics were still happening. Ray had just come back, because Ray was over there for the Rugby World Cup. And yeah, the two of them shot the breeze for about 20 minutes as Ray tried to advise Gareth the best way forward in terms of planning for Japan, because he was speaking about hiring a house and having to set up there. And unfortunately, like everyone else we've subsequently chatted to regarding the Olympics, all those plans were scuppered and sent up into thin air.
Yeah, but fortunately, if you listen to a guy like Gareth, he's got an optimistic outlook pragmatic but optimistic. He said to me, the first thing he said to me when I asked him how did he feel about the delay, he just said, no complaints, we've got an extra year to prepare. Yeah. And obviously that's exactly the hope, is that we'll be able to get back on a field pretty soon. We were building up some nice momentum, a good series victory against USA down in Durban, a fantastic world-class draw against Germany. And I must tell you about that one, Derek. I don't know if I have, but I was on commentary for the third test at Wits. The game was being streamed live by Shoot. So that's those automated cameras. And unfortunately, because of the setup, their microphone only goes down to just below where the camera is, which in this case was just behind the German bench. So I sat behind the German bench as South Africa and Germany drew 1-1, going absolutely crazy. And then when Germany missed a shot, I was like, that's another wasted effort from Germany. The coach turned around and says, will you tell them, because they're not listening to me. And so Gareth really was building some fantastic momentum. And then, of course, it got robbed from us because of what's happened. But I think for the good of South African hockey, we've got another year. We need to make sure that as soon as we're allowed to start playing, we try and maximize it in cost-effective ways. And we get our guys who are playing overseas to meet up regularly. We get our guys who are playing locally to meet up regularly. And as soon as we can, we get playing some test matches again. I think also with the new ranking system that changed, where every test match counts, like rugby, like soccer, it can only be beneficial for South Africa, because the African Cup didn't carry as many points as we'd like. And that could see us start moving back towards the top 10 again. So, yeah, Gareth has been a great guest, and I really do look forward to seeing him come back and complete the hat-trick. And obviously probably one of my favorite guests that we've had from the outdoor hockey sphere. Of course, we also had some really great indoor hockey guests, as you heard on Austin's notes earlier. You know, we go back to Durban, and this was the first time we decided to chat to someone who was not South African. Of course, you yourself were born in their country, and it was a really entertaining, and you're going to hear a little piece of it now, but it was a really entertaining chat with Jerika Cormack and Kiana Cormack, the sisters, Namibian hockey legends who played in Durban, stayed in Durban, both in Namibia, back in Namibia now. And you're going to hear the sound of the game in the background while we chatted. And it was just, it was an awesome experience and awesome chats. And, of course, Jerry offered us, if you remember, the tidbit that she was going to give us, Jerry's Jams.
Yes.
A bit of a did you know at every episode. And that lasted about as long as...
as the interview.
The Solidarity Fund? No. Too soon. Just kidding. Psych, if you're anyone listening to this that wants to kill me now. But yeah, I think it would be a good place to go next is to Jerika and Kiana.
Question Namibian related for you. Your mother, Shane,
yes,
played in the 2007 Indoor Hockey World Cup.
That is incorrect.
2011 Hockey World Cup.
That is correct.
Thank you. Yes.
Who's asking the question?
Looks so serious.
But your mother also scored a goal, one goal in that World Cup.
And she does, she
no,
actually...
We know.
Let me just tell you about this. Before the World Cup, she goes, she's like, hey? Hey?
Maybe she's going to listen to this later.
No, it's all good. It's all good. Because we have competitions, because obviously it's
we're
like, who's the better one between
like,
me and my mom?
Yeah.
Hey? So she goes, I scored a goal at the World Cup. Let's see if you can beat that.
Guess what she did.
And I got the award and I looked at her and I was like,
just know that goal that she scored, she loves calling it the family goal, because I actually stopped the ball. It was a shorty. Yeah. And I stopped and she flicked and she scored. And like it was like this moment, you know, mother-daughter.
Do you remember who it was against?
It was
Argentina.
Against
this
Argentina.
Is a tie break.
You got it.
Against Argentina.
You get the hot chocolate.
I didn't even give you that.
Yeah.
So they did get the hot chocolate, and I thoroughly enjoyed that interview. I mean, I enjoy every single one. And you mentioned about the action in the background. We're over there in Durban at it was Danville High School, hey? That was the name.
Yeah, Danville Girls High School, a fantastic host.
Really good host.
What you could say is the home of South African indoor hockey.
Yeah, a terrific place, and they really pulled out all the stops in hosting us, and thank you. But, yeah, you could hear the fun that everyone was having. And, I mean, we set up shop there, so apart from the broadcast that we're doing, we said, okay, cool, we'd be doing podcasts throughout the series. And you could see the ladies were almost lining up because they wanted to be a part of the action, except Jess O'Connor. Remember her? She turned around and she said, nope, everyone wants to chat to Jess. And she walked off. And we did. We tried our darndest to get her on. And unfortunately, she couldn't quite make it over that time, but we will in the near future. But yeah, the two Namibian sisters, Jessica and Jerica and Kiana, were absolutely brilliant. And it really summed up the atmosphere, Tyron, that week. I think that encapsulated exactly what that entire week was about.
100%. It was just a great week. I mean, it was Botswana's first foray into indoor hockey. And, yeah, I mean, they took some heavy defeats. But, I mean, South African coaches went and helped with them to go and help the team and help them learn. Zimbabwe, I mean, do you remember that come from behind?
Yeah.
Victory against the emerging South Africa.
Yeah.
Sensational game. I mean, what was it? I think they were 3-1 down with 3 minutes remaining, and they won the game 4-3.
That's exactly. Who was the superstar from Zimbabwe?
Michelle Williams.
There we go, Michelle Williams. Jeez, she was great.
I mean, Michelle Williams was sensational. You know, playing for their team, playing such amazing supporters there, going out for dinners afterwards with everybody. I mean, we still went to old Durban Country Club, the Beechwood one, for a farewell function, and Marissa Langeni had come down, and it was just a week of so much joy. And what I also enjoyed about that was the return of an emerging South Africa. I'm a very, very big fan of a concept of South Africa A or emerging South Africa across all sports.
Mm.
You know, in cricket here, we've kind of lost the plot a bit because South Africa A often becomes just whoever's available. An
invitational side with one or two big names where the rest are exactly that. It's more of a development team than anything else.
No, for sure. And the idea with this emerging side was you couldn't be older than 24 because, you know, if it's emerging, you must be someone that has potential. And we've seen, subsequent to that, Kayla Duvall. We've seen Alex Kavanagh get back into the squad. We've also seen Jess Larden back in the squad and almost undroppable now. So, you know, it's absolutely fantastic. And, you know, at some point we're going to be speaking to players who are saying that's where they got their break. I mean, AJ Spearings have got to coach that team.
Yeah.
He was a later guest of ours. And it's just so healthy. It's why I love that the South African A side will play against the British and Irish Lions in rugby. It's good for the game. Give players international experience for a non-cap team so that when they get to a cap team, you've already taken that shine off. And well done to Lenny Boeta, Robin Morgan, and everyone involved in SA Hockey for that decision.
I'm just reading the blurb that we released along with Episode 15, The Cormacs Uncovered. And there it is. The Jerry Jam Fact of the Day is also revealed, which will now be a permanent feature on the Hockey 24/7 podcast. And I reckon that's the exact same blurb that featured with the Solidarity Fund, Ty. The Solidarity Fund will be a permanent fixture in South Africa for the near future. Of course, pretty much had the exact same time frame in terms of existing. So apologies to Jerica and Kiana for not continuing, but hey, I mean, there's still plenty of time. We've got another 50 episodes to go before I reach our century, and yeah, they can certainly jump on board for that. Now, you mentioned, you were speaking about Gareth Ewing earlier, and you spoke about when you were commentating during the German game and how you were going crazy and you were situated amongst Germans. And I mean, we're jumping back and forth, but that's the nature of this show because we are just bringing back memories along the way. And talking about going crazy, we have to talk about that goal from one Nick Spooner.
Yeah, I mean, just set the scene again. Now, anybody who knows South African hockey knows that there is challenges between South African hockey players and the South African Sports Committee and Olympic Confederation, or whatever their name is. We also know that it's not Graham Joffa's best friend, good old Sascock. But in 2016, the men and women qualified for the Olympic Games in Rio, and they were told, we don't respect the African competition enough. You need to go and qualify again. And the qualification criteria that was set for them in 2016 was frankly ridiculous. And so both teams missed out, and Sascock didn't send them because they felt they only wanted to spend money, which is ironic because the IOC pays all costs for people when they're there, but on people who could medal. Now, that's against the Olympic Charter anyway, but we move on. We fast forward to 2020, and the teams are told once again, African Cup is not good enough alone. You need to also make the final of an FIH Hockey Series final. So South Africa go to India, and we play our opening game of the tournament, and we lose. We then play a second game of the tournament, and we are beaten, and we are hanging on by a thread. We then win our third game very comfortably to put us into the qualifiers. In the qualifiers, we play a game and we win, and it puts us up against USA in the semifinal. Now, we had played USA in the group stage and lost. We're now playing them in the semifinal. We have to win this game for our African Cup win to count. So, I mean, that now just go through this in the player's mind. The Americans, it's just a hockey game. It doesn't affect the Olympic qualification. I mean, it affects their tournament qualification, but it doesn't affect the Olympic qualification. For the South Africans, with a young team in their first tournament under a new coach, they have to win this game. And the worst possible thing happens. We go 1-0 down. And you just feel like it's one of those days. But it wasn't, because with about 15 minutes left, Aussie went and fired in a penalty corner, brought it back to 1-1, and the game was actually headed straight for shootouts. We actually saw the cameras panned across to Siya Nolichungu, who was busy doing his warm-up for the shootouts that were about to ensue. I mean, imagine that pressure. You didn't play the game, but you got to come on. And then something special happened, and we actually spoke about that special moment in episode 26 with Nick Spina.
To find the voice note, going back to that game against the States, the must-win match to go through to the final, hey, it was to play India. And this was the voice note I immediately got from Tyron mere seconds after you found the back of the net.
Come on! Yes, man!
We've got to hear it again. Come on, here we go.
I was a bit happy.
Yeah, you were. And rightly so. Funny enough, I actually watched that at Supersport. And I was broadcasting that. I wasn't broadcasting the game, but we were following it. And it's amazing how, and I wouldn't really say that there are many, many followers of hockey over in the building or in South Africa in general. I think 99% of the time you hear people screaming across the offices, it's usually for either rugby or football. And there were screams as soon as he found the back of the net. It wasn't just Tyron, who I could hear from 20 k's away. It was guys next door. And they came running through and they said, did you see? And I asked them a bit of background. They had no idea what happened. They just knew South Africa were playing hockey and you found the back of the net. They looked at the score all the time and they realized that it was a good thing.
I mean, everybody loves a last minute winner. Doesn't matter the sport. It's special. And for the hockey community, it was such a big goal because of just what it meant. And after the disappointment of 2016, this gave us hope that 2020 we could go to the Olympics again. And, you know, that's so important for ranking and opportunity, and most importantly, just for the development of the game and for the future stars. They want something to play for.
Nick, what was it like straight afterwards? We're going back to that goal. Sorry, I know we deviated quite a bit. But I mean, that's stuff that you kind of script in movies, and people live for that moment, and very, very, very few people get to experience it. I mean, afterwards, was it being lifted on the shoulders of teammates kind of stuff, or was it pretty subdued?
No, it was actually, I mean, at the time, straight after the game, everybody, there was not really much was spoken, not a lot was spoken in the change room. Everyone was a little sort of taken aback of exactly just what happened. I think everyone was pretty much set. I mean, you saw Sia warming up on the side. Everyone was pretty much set to go into shootouts. And like I said, I obviously just didn't want to take a shootout. That I'd had enough. And yeah, I mean, the team at that stage, because of how we had got to the semi-final, it wasn't the easiest road we had. We had a very different road or path to get there. And everything actually just sort of fitted perfectly into place for us that we got to play USA again. I mean, we sat afterwards having a beer in the evening, and everyone was just saying, like, do you actually realize that we've now got the best chance or best opportunity we have to qualify for the Olympics? And I mean, the final at the end of the day didn't really matter. Playing India in India in the final, that wasn't, we had already achieved our goal.
Yeah, man, that was the Hockey the Podcast with Tyron and Derek, with a little cameo from Nick Spooner. I was wondering if we're ever going to let him talk.
we have done that a few times. I mean, I think it may have been John Wright, it may have been Pete Kutsia, where we basically spoke for 5 or 6 minutes just to introduce them, and then we were like, oh crap, we actually have a guest. Because I guess, you know, also that's the other thing. We are talking about hockey, but we're talking about sports. And, you know, as I said, for both of us, sports is happiness. And it's just something great to talk about. And look, you know, my son is sleeping not far away from here, the 9-month-old one. But for the listeners, I will try and reenact that voice note just one more time. Yes, man! Come on!
you hit the nail on the head. Well done. That was pitch perfect, should I say.
My cat's going to blixen me.
you speak about intros and long intros that we've had, and I know you mentioned a name, but without a doubt, the longest intro that we had was for one PD Kutsia. I mean, we've had legends on the show, but I don't think they come bigger than Pete Kutsia. Pete Kutsia Turner, do they, Ty?
No. As I said in the intro, and you can go back and listen to it on episode 40, she is somebody that left me starstruck when I first met her. I mean, you don't need to know about hockey to know about Pete Kutsia. And she's now living in America with her wife, Roxy, and their kids, their two kids, coaching at the University of Massachusetts. And you know that she's doing a wonderful job there, because she doesn't do anything other than great jobs, including when she broke the record for the top international goal scorer.
So that particular day, you know, there was a period where I went over 200 goals. I was well on my way to the record, which was 221. And then came this drought that was unexplainable. Like, I couldn't tell you what happened, but it was at least 6 games or something that I never scored a goal in. And I got a bit stressed about it, because it's out of character. I was wondering what the heck was going on and what else I needed to do. And I was trying to tell my teammates, please, I will buy you coffee if you set me up properly. that didn't even work. So anyway, at some stage, that drought also ended, and we got to this tournament in Ireland where the tally became really close to the world record, and I think it was a matter of time really for it to happen. We didn't know exactly when, but evidently the team was ready for this occasion with those t-shirts and stuff, and we played the United States in this particular game, and I needed one goal to equal it, and then of course the second goal to break it, and then I don't know. It was just really an amazing goal. There was the third goal to go over it. So that was a very, very cool game. And what was also nice about that goal, that particular game, is that I scored a field goal. I scored a penalty corner goal. And so it was like everything was just put into one game for me. It was really, really nice.
Yeah, man. Jeez. It is amazing looking back. And I know I speak about our Tuesday night lockdown sports quizzes. And there's a running joke amongst all competitors because Tyron is the master when it comes to two categories in terms of questions. One is darts, and the other one, of course, being hockey. And all the competitors always know that there's going to be a hockey question. And to their credit, they have certainly learnt a lot more about the sport along the way because they've realized that, firstly, it's a great sport, and secondly, Tyron's always going to ask a hockey question. But always, if you don't know the answer, always shout out Petey Kutsia.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, look, Petey's a legend. She had so much time for us. And I mean, I remember, I think we got to an hour and we had to cut it off because, you know, it was midday there. Her kid, Scotty, was getting a little bit irritated with her. So we said, cool, cut it off. But we could have spoken for 3 or 4 hours. We barely touched on some of the topics that we could have. It was really, really cool. And just how humbling she is. I mean, Petey Kutsia is up there with A.B. de Villiers. She's up there with Jacques Cullis. She's up there with, John Smith, Victor Matfield, as the best in her sport ever.
Didn't she
chat to us like we were just her mate?
Yeah, she really did. Didn't you go away to a golf weekend? And she was there, and she ended up beating someone in a down-down?
Yeah, so it was the JAG Invitational, yeah. and I was invited to come and write about it, and it was an amazing experience, and it's really cool because you and I are getting to work with JAG with the sports quizzes now, which is really, really exciting. So to come full circle, and the way the JAG Invitational worked was you had three golfers, and then your fourth was a sporting celebrity. And so she was there, and then one of the other media people, Follow the Bounce, or Ben Kopinski, as most people know, had laid out a challenge on social media to the sports stars that were attending and said, listen, I will take you on in a down-down, and I will win. And, you know, it wasn't a good night for Ben because he lost to Mark Boucher. I mean, he obviously lost to Mark Williams because, like, he basically breathed in the beer. But then he was like, I'm going to take you on, Petey. And he took on Petey Kutsia. And she showed what hockey people have been showing for years, and that's that you can't take us on in a down-down.
Oh, man, it was so good to have her on. And I was like a cat in a hot tin roof ahead of the interview because, again, going into Hockey the Podcast from the very beginning, not knowing too much of the sport, but as you said, Ty, you don't need to know a thing about hockey, but you will know who Petey Kutsia Turner is. And that exactly was the case for me. And I think from the very beginning, I was saying to you, when are we going to interview her? When are we going to interview her? And you said, just hold on. I'll make it happen. But it's not that easy. You can't just phone up legends of the game and say, we want you on the call right now, especially when they're on the other side of the world. But she was incredibly accommodating, and we can't wait to have her back. And hopefully... hopefully we can do an interview in person. And that's another thing that's funny, because you spoke about how Robin Johnson was actually our very, very first guest that we ever interviewed, but she wasn't episode one. And the reason being is back then, okay, granted this was pre-COVID days, but, I mean, we were doing up to 5 interviews a night. I mean, looking back, it is madness. And looking at the duration of interviews... You're looking at 45 minutes to an hour on average. And, I mean, I don't know what we're thinking. In those poor guests that were dealing with us in the fifth interview, I mean, we're, okay, cool, we'll chat to you at around 9 o'clock at night. I mean, the hop was 10, we're giving him the ring. And, I mean, we have just been speaking for 4 hours nonstop, and now we've got to get to another interview. And it was cool, but it was damn tiring.
No, look, in hindsight, you and I fell victims to the trap. The many corporates fell victims to thinking you can't do these things from home. And obviously, it was difficult finding a time. We weren't available every week. I mean, I work a full-time job during the day. You often have some night shifts at Super Sports along the way. And in between that, we've got all our other commitments, and both of us are fathers to young kids. So We were like, let's do it once a month, and let's do 4 or 5 guests so we got content for the full month. Like, yeah, that actually makes a lot of sense. And I still remember forming that first WhatsApp group, and we're like, okay, guys, we do the first person at 6, then 6:45, 7:30, 8:15, and 9. And somebody took the 9 o'clock, and then I think we eventually did the 9 o'clock person at 10:30, and I think I left your house after midnight.
Yeah, easily.
And we did that, I think, three times, and then we were like, okay. No, what we got to do is try and do more people in person.
Yeah.
That wasn't so easy. And so what you'll see is the regularity in the first year wasn't as good. But what happened with lockdown was we just got onto our wagon, and we started rolling this out. And what's been great is now we've got a dedicated day. A Tuesday is Hockey the Podcast Day from Raider Media. All our Raider Media channels are ready to share it with you. And in fact, you don't even need to get it on social media. As long as you subscribe, you're going to get it every Tuesday on the dial, 10 o'clock in the morning. By lunchtime, you can sit and eat your peanut butter and jelly, your ham and cheese, and I don't know why I called it peanut butter and jelly. That was really weird. I have never called it that before. That just happened.
or you can have some Nando's like we used to do. Remember, you used to always rock up, and we're sitting here starving at around 9:30 at night, halfway through our third interview of 5, and we think, oh geez, we need food, and then you'd order us a bunch of Nando's. We'd come and we'd have like 5 minutes to enjoy it before we get into the interview again. But, I digress. I mean, yeah, Tuesday is a dedicated day now. It certainly has been a revelation for Hockey the Podcast, because people love consistency, and I mean, we've always known that. And we've got quite a few products under the Raider Media umbrella. Unfortunately, some of them aren't too consistent in terms of days, but Hockey the Podcast, you know, if it's a Tuesday, you're going to get your latest fix of Hockey the Podcast, including this one, which we hope you are enjoying. It's been thrilling, really. I've loved this episode, being able to go back down memory lane. And apologies for the guests that we haven't managed to play. We're going to play a couple of more, though. But, I mean, you can't fit everyone in. You mentioned over 60 guests. So, but that just means that they'll have to come back again and ensure that we get to play them when we're celebrating our 100th, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, but the great thing is, and this is what I love about podcasting, is every one of those interviews is available on every podcast platform. We're on Stitcher, we're on Overtunes, we're on Apple, we're on Spotify, we're on TuneIn. So we've made it available as anywhere. And of course, you can also go to the hosting site, Iono FM, and listen to it. And all of them are there. And of course, what you might not know is this is Hockey the Podcast's 50th episode. This is my 50th episode, but it's only your 45th, Derek. So in 5 episodes' time, we'll have to celebrate again so we can play a bunch of the others.
Yeah, you're right. I've still got 5 more to go, unfortunately, Dan. That put a bit of a dampener in my spirits. I won't lie, I'm kidding. Now, speaking of legends,
but before you do, I mean, it's a fairly good reason.
Yeah,
for 100%. Those of you who are on motorsport fans, it was during the indoor hockey RPT, and I was down in Durban, and Derek was busy racing around Saudi Arabia with Fernando Alonso.
Yeah, I'll
so
take it.
Said, no, listen, you need to take this time to record podcast, Tyron. So if you think the intros ran a little bit longer there, it's because I didn't have our beautiful roadcaster with me, so I was using the handhelds, and I just inserted music later. So,
speaking of that music, I mean, that also stood the test of time, and it has become synonymous with Hockey the Podcast, and we use it in a couple of other products, but just because to throw forward or remind people about Hockey the Podcast, and it's become such a lack of tune, and again, so accidental, found this song. Kudos to the developer. It's called Do-Da-Do, I think. When you hear that music at the beginning, it just puts you in a whole new mood.
I mean, Derek, I think it has to be done. You need to play it.
Yeah.
can actually hear your intro kicking in my head already.
No, I mean, I absolutely love it. So, yeah, let's just look back at a few more guests. I mean, we spoke about Pidi Kutsia being a legend. And from one to another, and you talk about Olympics and someone who is extremely experienced when it comes to the biggest sporting event on earth is a guy who I knew very well, but outside of hockey, in John Wright, Ty.
Yeah, I mean, John, obviously, he features in the new Hockey the Magazine edition one, and simply being, I've got the article that I wrote called John Wright, South Africa's Greatest Olympian, because not only has he been to 5 Olympic Games, he's umpired 2 Olympic Game finals and was a reserve umpire in a 3rd. And of course, you already knew him and had a relationship because he was the president of the Titans in cricket. Yes, in cricket for 5 years. So he is a wonderful sports official, but he's also a wonderful sports administrator. And obviously, he is, in my opinion, South Africa's greatest Olympian. And I want to stick with Olympics because you have been to the Olympics a few times. In 2008, or sorry, all the way back in 2000, you had your first Olympic appearance in Sydney. In 2004, you went to Greece. In 2008, you were the reserve umpire in the final, in the gold medal match. So knowing that, how great was it to, in 2016, be given the gold medal match?
Look, firstly, it's a massive honor. And secondly, yeah, it is. I mean, it's a fantastic achievement, I suppose, if I have to look back. Yeah, so my philosophy really with regards to umpiring was you've been appointed to a tournament for a specific reason. You've got to get out there and umpire to the best of your ability, no matter what names you end up getting. And I think if you go with that kind of approach and you're well enough prepared, you know, whatever comes your way and get out on the field and do it. So being able to umpire in Rio, the final, I did the final in Athens as well. Yeah, it was a fantastic opportunity for me, a fantastic achievement, I suppose, and one that I'm very grateful for. Not many guys get the opportunity to umpire at those tournaments, let alone have to umpire the final.
Happy 50th Hockey Podcast. Thank you so much for giving us such a cool platform to share our stories on, as well as a place where we can draw motivation and inspiration from other players. Can't wait for the next 50.
Thank you very much, Jess Laudent. And prior to her, we did have John Wright. And I'm sure she would have taken inspiration and motivation from John herself, Ty.
Well, if you don't, there's probably something wrong with you, to be true. I mean, he speaks well. He cares about the development of the game. And listen, if as far as it goes, from an umpiring point of view, he's achieved it. And I think it was also important. The reason why I wanted John Wright included is because on this journey, we have spoken to players. We've spoken to former players. We've spoken to coaches. We've spoken to guys like Jack Tonneson, who is a businessman. Yes, a former player, but a businessman in the world of hockey. We've spoken to umpires. And of course, our friends from FH Umpires doing a fantastic job for hockey umpires around the world have also helped us quite a lot with sharing it. And actually, that is our most listened to interview of all 50.
Wow. That says a hell of a lot because we've had some very, very popular shows along the way.
Yeah, and it just shows you just how big a profile John Wright is. Obviously, the likes of Pidi Kutsia is right up there. Marsha Cox, I mean, we had a wonderful interview with her back in the early days. And yeah, I mean, the caliber of guests. I know you often say at the end of the episodes, what a great guest we've got. But the fact is, the caliber of guests is great because there's just that many great stories to tell.
Yeah. I sound like a broken record. And you know, I hate falling into, you call it a crutch. A word or a term that you always use if you're in broadcasting. And, of course, I've got many, but one of them, it sounds like a crutch when I say, wow, what a legend, what a great person, immediately afterwards. But it's completely true because they really are. And you must remember that for me, for most of the time, I'm listening and interacting with these people for the very first time. And I'm almost experiencing it as a listener would experience it for the first time. You, on the other hand, have spent a lot of time with most of our guests outside of Hockey the Podcast, and for me, it is just thrilling to discover and explore the minds of these athletes, these administrators, these hockey lovers. And, you know, one of the my favorite, and yeah, I don't have any regrets saying that over the course of the 50. Well, I've actually got two. Cindy Hack was one of them, and she was one of our very early interviews. So what episode was she? Ty, can you remember?
About episode 5, and probably recorded on that first night as well.
Yeah, I think she was, actually. You're right, it was on that first night. So Cindy Hack is one of my favorites because her father's Lenny Buerta. I got to meet him as well. I got to meet the family, and this was spent down in Durban. She's the captain of the Spa Women's Indoor Hockey side, and what a phenomenal player. And that series that we're down, she was player of the series. As one of the many, many player of the series awards she's collected over the years. And a great person. So I've got to know her on a very personal level, which has been really cool. And then the other person, and this was my favorite interview purely because it was such an enjoyable interview. And also I've got to know him since then on a personal level too. And Justin Reed Ross, another legend of the game, but a legendary person too, Ty.
Yeah, look, and how great has he been for us at Hockey the Podcast, for us at Raider Media? I mean, he's featured in the Lockdown Sports Quiz. He's featured in the Lockdown Sports Quiz live, teaming up with Chris Morris and providing some great entertainment. I mean, the two logged on with pictures of each other as their backgrounds. I mean, you don't get better than that. And just it was a sensational interview. It was our longest interview that we have released. We did actually even consider cutting it in two because we just kept chatting. And I mean, what everybody doesn't know is it was about an hour and 20 minutes, and we still spoke for another hour after we stopped recording.
It always reminds me of when I think about the episode 43, The Rise of Reed Ross. It reminds me of Kill Bill, because remember Kill Bill, they had volumes 1 and 2, and Quentin Tarantino directed it, and geez, I actually shouldn't mention the producer's name or the company's name now because they're bastards. But when Tarantino made his first cut for Kill Bill, the thing was like 4 hours long, and the studio had a look at this and they said it's too good to cut. So we went the entire thing, and that's why it became volumes 1 and 2. Thankfully, we didn't give a damn. We said, well, we'll put the whole thing in. We don't need to cut it, because 1 hour, 20 minutes is long, but it's worth every single second, and that's exactly what we did. But, it was a thoroughly entertaining interview, and it ended with a lesson for you and I, Ty, which is almost unheard of. You and I know our sports back to front, some more than others, but there was an interesting sport that we had never heard of, and Justin Reed Ross actually gave us an education into the Indian sport of kabaddi.
We already started feeling it a little bit in the final year when they had the Pro Kabaddi League running at the same time, which was getting primetime TV coverage, and all we ever saw on TV in the evenings was reruns of kabaddi. Jabu, I don't know if you know anything about your kabaddi, but you can maybe explain it to the listeners.
I don't. I was about to ask you, what the heck is kabaddi?
Kabaddi, I'm probably going to do a terrible job of explaining it, but it's basically like it's basically a game of tag, like between two teams.
That is.
Yeah, but it's professional, and these guys wear basically just their underwear.
A body.
Have to run. Kabaddi, yeah, with a K.
Kabaddi.
What Wikipedia says.
It's fascinating to watch.
It's a contact team sport played between two teams of 7 players, and the objective of a player is for a single player on offense to run into the opposing team's half of a court, tag out as many of the defenders as possible, and return to your own half of the court. I am definitely going to go find this on YouTube now.
Yeah, I'm
going
to do it.
Please go do yourself a favor and Google the Pro Kabaddi League. I think that's what it was called in India. I'm pretty sure there's international versions of kabaddi as well. And it is it is worth a watch. But in India at the time, that started getting a lot more airtime than Hockey India League in the final year. So I think the writing was on the wall at that stage.
That is a question in the quiz next week.
Yeah.
Name the sport. I'm going to show a photo.
And Justin is going to be playing, so he's going to have a bit of an advantage.
Yeah, I'm in.
Hey, Ty and Derek, guys. Massive congratulations on reaching the 50 milestone mark for Hockey the Podcast. I've thoroughly enjoyed the first 50 episodes, and it's been pretty special to be able to take part as well in my own episode. Thanks for including me. I think for me, one of the highlights was discussing the incredible Indian sport of kabaddi during our podcast recording. I look back on that with some fond memories and of course being challenged on my friend's knowledge, which was good fun. Guys, best of luck. Hope the next 50 are even better. And here's to hopefully popping on again in the future.
Yeah, it's been a privilege having you on board, Justin Reed Ross. And you know, it's almost sad in a way that we reduced his 1-hour, 20-minute interview into a little blurb about kabaddi, because he revealed so many highlights, so many interesting things. It was a fantastic, fantastic interview. But again, we can't fit an hour and 20 into an hour and 20 show. And we've also got to feature a whole bunch of others. But I'm glad he acknowledged it as well as being one of his highlights of the interview. But what a great guy, Ty.
Yeah, look, I'm actually sitting here outside, not outside, in my patio. And I've got an Amsterdam shirt hanging up here. It's from the club that he plays for or played for. Of course, he has now signed for Hurley. So Amsterdam, one of the top clubs. He has signed for Hurley in Amsterdam and will be playing another season in the Hoofdklasse. For those who don't know, kind of like the Premier League of hockey in Europe. It is the biggest. And, you know, no disrespect to the German league. And he will be in that league again. And so we wish him well and we look forward to chatting to him again over the next 50 episodes as we find out more about the next sport I've never heard about before.
Yeah, Justin Reed Ross, a massive friend of the show, as have been all our guests along the way. And that does wrap up episode 50 of Hockey the Podcast. But I think before we hammer in the final nail of this one, it would be remiss of us not to finish things off with a one-question quiz, Ty. And we don't have any guests but ourselves. So I'll start off. How about it?
Go for it.
Okay. So for regular listeners of the show, which I'm sure is pretty much everyone that is listening to this specific episode, they'd be very au fait with the fact that the questions usually deal with someone's name or pretty much anything else, but I usually focus on the name. So I'm going to go with this. Tyron Jabu Barnard, I want to know, how many runs did Tyron Henderson concede in his one and only T20 international for South Africa? So he bowled 24 balls against India, and the match was in Johannesburg in 2006. How many runs did he concede?
Who did you say he played against?
India, and I will give you one either side leeway, one run either side.
So he played, and you said it was with 2000 and something.
2006.
Okay, so that's right at the Wanderers. So it's right at the start of T20. So what's an average score there? About 140. So 7 and over. So say 28.
Wow, he went 7.75, and it was 24. Close.
Not bad.
Shame. And he only had, in his one innings, he got a duck, faced two ball. So yeah, and he didn't take a wicket either, unfortunately. So it wasn't the greatest of debuts, and unfortunately never got to redeem himself again. But
that is a great question. I'm going to ask on Tuesday night all the South Africans to have played one T20.
Ooh, yes, it's a great idea. Oh, that's a good one.
All right, Derek, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Adinda Albert played 24 indoor hockey caps for which country?
Adinda Albert. 24 caps.
She played 24 indoor hockey caps for which country?
So I had, from what I understand in terms of my heritage, my great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather came to South Africa from Germany, and it used to be Alberts with a Z, and he changed it to an S. So I'm going to go along those lines, but Adinda doesn't sound very German. So if we move further north up to Austria, that could be a possibility. But could we even go to the Netherlands or Belgium? No, I'll go with Germany.
Okay, so Adinda Alberts is her married name.
Oh.
Her maiden name was Buren. And you actually didn't mention her country.
Oh, no. So it was Belgium.
Netherlands.
Oh, man. Oh, geez.
So we both got stumped by our one question quiz.
Yes.
Derek, before we wrap up, though, we said it's been a fantastic journey. It's been fantastic friends that we've encountered over the time. And it would be remiss of us not to just acknowledge the three friends who have put up something for our listeners. So to TK Hockey, who've given us a 700 Rand voucher, and there's some amazing stuff on their store for 700 Rand. To Malik Hockey, and of course the man behind that is Peter Wright, has been a guest. TK was Rusty Peterson, has been a guest. Malik Hockey have given us three little hampers to give away to someone and two of their friends. So, you know, go check out the Raider Instagram pages, because you could win for yourself and two friends. That would make you right up the Christmas wish list, you know. You become, the chances of getting a invited as a date somewhere, you know, if there's someone you fancy. Nice. I mean, get in there, get in on that action. And then, of course, to Jack Tonneson and Princess Hockey have given us a stick, a Austin Smith signature stick, and, of course, the SG sweater. It is fantastic. All three of these are still up for grabs. You can still enter today, tomorrow, and Thursday on Raider Media's Instagram page. 50 episodes, 5 days of prizes has been great. We really have had a super journey, and it's thanks to you, the listeners, that are listening to these stories that gives us the ability to keep telling the stories. Derek, I wanted to ask you one more question.
Yeah. Firstly, thanks very much to the sponsors. Yeah. I mean, those prizes are phenomenal, and they've been with us along the way too. It's not the first time that we're giving away prizes. Certainly, these are the best that we've managed to give away, and it certainly won't be the last time. So a massive thank you to them. They are magnificent, and I don't even play hockey, but I want them all.
Yeah, look, we know that Sam has Sam, who runs our Raider Media social media, is entering the competition herself, but we've told her she's not allowed to. But yeah, go in there, enter, and I mean, the worst thing we can tell you is that you didn't win.
Yeah.
But, no, enter.
Sorry, Ty, you didn't win, Ty. Sorry, man.
No. But although I am the auditor checking that it's a fair decision. Derek, last thing from me.
Yeah.
One highlight for you. I know it's a difficult question to ask, but one highlight from the 50.
Yeah, it's got to be that Durban trip, because that really opened my eyes into a whole new world of hockey as a sport. And of course, we did a couple of shows from there as we played out with the sisters from Namibia. So that would definitely be my highlight. I mean, putting it down to a single podcast is impossible, but to an experience, it's got to be that week in Durban involving South Africa, emerging South Africa, Zimbabwe, and Botswana. And yours, Ty?
Yeah, that's clearly the highlight. Actually, there's no competition. That is the highlight. It's been fantastic. You did mention earlier that you had some podcasts that like stood out in your memory, and there was just one other one that I wanted to specifically mention, was Bruce Jacobs, the 2008 Beijing Olympics captain. I mean, I've known him for a long time working with Pro Series Indoor, but that interview just took my respect for him up to the next level. So if you really do, you know, we spoke about being inspired. If you want to be inspired, go and listen to Bruce Jacobs. But you know what? Go and listen to Cara Borters. Go listen to Anton van Nachenberg. Go listen to Robin Johnson. Go listen to Nicole Walraven. Go listen to Billy and Thule. Go listen to Steve and Thule. Go listen to John T. Robinson. Go listen to any of our 62 guests. These have been special people. Their stories give us something to tell. And without them, we wouldn't have this amazing podcast and this amazing opportunity. So thank you to all of them. And let's tell some more for the next 50.
Yeah, I couldn't have put it better, Ty. Episode 41, incidentally, in conversation with Bruce Jacobs. And again, we'd love to have been able to feature every single one on the wrap-up of the first 50, but time obviously meant we couldn't. It's simply impossible. But it's a 51-minute long interview, and again, every single second is worth it. So go listen to that one, as well as the other 49. It's been an absolute pleasure wrapping up the first 50, Ty. Here's to the next 50.
Let's do it.